What you're about to hear is an interview with Mr. Jasper Barnkard, now in his 80th year, and from all indications, the oldest and longest resident here on Rose Lake. Mr. Barnkard, when you first came here, I'm sure you weren't hearing the buzzing of high-powered motors as we now hear in the background. What was the lake like when you came?
Well, when we first came here, there were only three cabins on the lake. The first three cabins as you make the turn to go on the north side of Rose Lake. And they were owned by Wentworth, Hiram Elliott, and Dr. Collins. And all three have changed hands since we've been here. And we were the fourth cabin on the Rose Lake. And the only way we could see the property was the realtor had to row us around the lake in a boat. And because there was no roads. And as I said, the only road from the, which is now the end of the blacktop, went from there over to the French Club. That was the only road around the three lakes. Now, the oldest cabin on all three lakes is the old Filiatro cabin, which has since been turned down and is owned by Walker. And that was a homesteader's home that homesteaded the property around Rose Lake. And Filiatro, as I've been told by more than one occasion from years back, and I can't authenticate it, I've tried to, that Filiatro owned some timberland, and a company that logged around, Campbell Lumber Company, wanted his timberland, so he made a trade with his timberland for the property around lake, around the three lakes, and he had it plotted out and sold it.
Well, when was this area logged, or do you know?
Around 1905 and 1906 in that area, in that neighborhood, as far as I can find out from people that have lived here longer than I have.
Was the lake itself used for moving the logs?
No, the lake was not used for for logging or floating logs or any of that material. What we did find, we couldn't get in on our beats on the property because our cabin sets all along here was the logging camps. And when they logged in front of the camps, they topped everything into the lake. And we couldn't get in with a boat because these tops of these trees that they'd left there, there was no place to get into the boat, so we had to go down the shore and then walk back in.
All right, on the site of this cabin that you now own, there was a logging camp.
A logging camp, right along. This cabin is built right over the blacksmith shop, on the foundation of the old blacksmith shop of the logging camp.
Did the camp have a name or a number?
No, that I could find out.
Do you know who operated it? What company?
I was told the Campbell Lump Company owned it, but like I say, some of these statements I'm making as to a company I can't authenticate, but I've talked to folks from Shaw that have been around here, farmers lived out Shaw, and they tell me they was pretty sure it was Campbell Lumber Company.
Were there other logging camps operating right around Rose Lake?
There has been some, just penny ante ones that you might say, just log for a little while and maybe for a year or so, small outfits.
They came in and at that time took what, the white pine and the red pine?
I took all the pine out, as far as I can find out. And when they logged, all the logging, these logging trails around the three lakes lead to where we are now, to the camps. They hauled the logs from here across from where behind Spencer's place that goes over to the French Club and back of your place there. They went there and dumped them, hauled them over to Bug Creek where they, there's a dam. They had a dam there. I've been down there fishing in that dam years ago. And when they had their logs, they opened the dam, floated them into the Whiteface River and into the Cloquet and down to Cloquet. That's how they got the logs out of here because there was no road into Shaw from the highway.
Now, you mentioned the first cabins on Rose Lake. Do you know which was the first cabin on any of the three lakes?
Well, it'd be one of those three, because there was no cabins on under any of the other three lakes.
For whom were the three lakes named?
After Filiatro's daughter. Three daughters. Laura was the oldest, and Dodo was next, and Rose was the youngest.
At that time, the time when you moved in on this lake, what was property here selling for?
Well, I have a very large single-foot lot for as far as the lots around the lake goes. It was 122 feet on the lake and goes back 292 feet. And I paid we paid $575 for it at that time, back in 1921.
Now, some major fires moved in and around this area. Did any move through the three lakes?
Not since we've been here, no. Prior to us being out here, I would say in the, maybe the middle teens, the fire went through here.
What year was it specifically that the Filiatros put up land for sale?
Well, we became aware of it in 1920, and Carl Knudsen was the real estate agent for him, and he had a little house over there, shelter, where he as the office, and they advertised it to come out and enjoy your bathing and picnic, and from Larry Stratton's, you know, his cabin was. Larry Stratton's cabin over to, I would say, as far as McEwen's place. That property was not for sale. It was all beach. And they invited you to come out and have a picnic and swim and so on and so forth. It was plotted, but not for sale.
Was this advertised in the Duluth paper?
Well, I don't recall now that it was.
Well, how did you hear about it?
Well, it must have been got a word around
word
something.
Word of mouth.
Yeah, word of mouth or something. It might have been advertised, but anyway, we heard about it. And we went to, the wife and I went to 6, 7, 8 lakes up as far as that was looking, but we always came back to Rose Lake. Because as far as beach and water was concerned, well, you couldn't beat it.
How was the fishing then?
Oh, fishing, gee. I've often kidded folks that are on other lakes that the northerners were so thick in here, when out in a rowboat, we had to put carry sand on and throw on the fish's back because they always were slipping. And you catch one, or go at the end of the dock, which we don't have any drop-off there, you'd catch a northern man, nothing under 30 inches, and maybe printed every cast. It is loaded with northerns.
What else? Were there others?
That's about all we caught, a small perch, you know. But that's all we were catching, that's all we could catch.
Do you know of any record fish taken out of here?
No, Wally Lund here 2 years ago caught one around 17 pounds down here out of Rose Lake. But right now it's the last place in the world I'd go fishing because it's pretty well fished out.
What about the other two lakes? Were they as good in those days?
Oh, yeah. In fact, they're pretty good right now. Fellow was over in Dodo here this past week and got a 14 3/4 pound northern and a bunch of nice crappies out of Dodo.
What about the shoreline in general? Now, the lake has gone up and down so many times. What was it like that first year you came in?
Well, we had a beach then when we bought in 21, just about like we have now. But it runs in cycles, it seems. Regardless of how much moisture we have or don't have, it goes up and down. And it has chewed into our bank quite a bit.
So you've seen it fluctuate since 1921, up and down and up and down.
Up and down, yes, And it started to go down in 76 and... A neighbor next door, he was asking me about it, and I said, well, it started to go down to 76. You mark the calendar. I might be down, not around when it comes back up again. But it seems to be down for about 5, 6 years, and then it comes up.
Do the other two fluctuate that much?
No. See, this lake, you might be interested to know that this lake is over 8 feet higher than Dodo, and it's only about a block across from Dodo to Rose Lake to Dodo. It's over 8 feet, and that's according to the county highway engineer. They've been out here surveying it.
Now, you lived and worked in Duluth the time you owned this cabin initially.
Oh, yeah.
Where did you work there?
I was with the Board of Trade Sampling Bureau, then I worked for the state. I wasn't working for the state at the time I bought it. I was with the Northwest Grain Association.
What about coming up here? What about transportation? How long did it take you to get up here then?
When we started up, and you'll check, you'll find that Highway 5, which is now 53, used to be the old Minner Trunk, and that was under construction. Now we can come up in 40 minutes. It used to take us an hour and a half sometimes because of the detours. They were working on a piece here and a piece there. There'd be times where you'd have to go up the Maple Grove or Hermantown Road and hit number 2 and come in on 33. And then when they were working between 33 and there, we'd have to go on and come in, say on number 7 and come in on from Meadowlands. Then we would have to go up to Cotton and come back to Cotton.
What kind of car were you driving then?
I was driving a Chevy.
It held up pretty well on those roads?
Yes, it did. You didn't make much time on them.
What about wildlife here? Did you see a lot of wildlife when you first came?
Oh, heavens. We used to sleep out on the porch here. There were no cabins around here at all. You hear something splashing around, you look down, and there'd be 5, 6 deer running down the beach printed every morning. And partridge, used to be a lot of partridge out here. But other than that, well, I'm a bear, of course.
Moose? Did you ever see moose?
I had moose tracks in the yard here, but I never saw the moose itself.
Was there once a narrow-gauge railroad that ran from Rose Lake to Shaw?
Not that I know of. Never heard of it. Never heard of it.
Were there any going into the other two lakes?
Not that I know
of. Apparently some people have heard that this is true.
No, I know. Unless it could have belonged to the logging camp, but the information I've been gathered over the years that tote road that goes from, like, over the French Club that goes on to into Bug Creek.
On the negative side of things, have there ever been any drownings in Rose Lake?
No. There were near drowning on the other end of the lake here. It so happened that there was a fellow there that was up to resuscitation, and he brought the guy too, but he had quite a problem. That's as close as...
Was that quite a few years ago?
Yes, quite a while ago, down on the other end of the lake.
Do you know about the other two lakes?
No, I haven't heard of anybody drowning on any of the three all the time we've been here. If they have, I've never heard about them.
Were there any Indian settlements on Rose or the other two lakes that you know of?
No, although the lakes originally called, when we came out, were called Nishwa Lakes, which is Indian name for three. And that Nishwa name seems to have been dropped over the years.
Nishwa Lakes. Do you know how they spelled that?
N-I-S-S-I-O-U, I think it is.
Did you do any hunting in those early years?
I've never been a hunter. The work, I was in the grain business, and from the latter part of August until navigation season, I couldn't even get a Sunday off, so I had no chance for hunting.
Were there others who did here?
Oh, yes, yes. It's been a good deer country out here, and still is. It still is.
Now, as we mentioned when we started recording, there are a lot of high-powered boats out in front of us. When you came here, there was nothing but rowboats.
That's all.
Or canoes?
There were very few canoes. In fact, there wasn't any canoes really at them days. There was some, one or two maybe, but there was no cabins either to have canoes or boats.
When did the first sailboats appear?
Oh, gee. Not too long ago. I couldn't say as to when they popped up.
Do you remember the first outboards?
Yes, that would be, I know who had it too, and that was Cox, that used to be the ambulance driver in town. And he was wild with us, and I had to go over and tell him I'd kill him with a baseball bat if he didn't behave himself. He'd circle a boat, rowboat out there and scare the devil out of people, and he was head of the Red Cross and supposed to promote safety. And so I went over one time and I told him, I said, you know my boat, if I ever see you circling around, I said, I'm going to come over and with a baseball bat, I'm going to kill you. Because, oh, he just rocked those boats, they're pretty tipped over, and the people would come back crying and screaming, you know, and there's no sense to it. And he stayed plenty away from my boat. But that was the first motorboat that I could remember, motor being on, is a boat that he made himself.
Do you remember any particularly bad storms that struck here, any tornadoes or near tornadoes?
Well, we've had some pretty bad winds, but right in this immediate area there hasn't been. We've had some good strong winds where it blew a few tree down here and there, you know what I mean? But they, not too far away from us here, there have been some tornadoes striking us west of us on the other side of 53. But as far as any really tornado, what you call good tornado going through the area, I don't recall of anything ever going through.
Now, of all the people who lived on the lake, I imagine there were many who qualified as interesting and some characters and some perhaps bad characters. Were there ever any people who lived here, and we won't mention names, who were, in a sense, asked to leave because they were disturbing the rest?
No, they weren't asked to leave, but they were told to behave or get off. So we had one down here just four or five doors. It was, and folks that owned the cabin originally had sold it, and the old couple got it. Well, I would say an elderly couple got it, and they were tight out there and were fooling around the boat, and everybody was scared shit they were going to drown, and they were making a lot of noise. So a few of us went over and told me that they had to cut it out and or get out the lake, because it was right in our deed that you couldn't become a public nuisance. We couldn't rent a boat. You can't sell any property. You couldn't have a stand. When you bought, that was the understanding you bought with. So that is that was a good thing to have. Another thing, that when this original plot came out, every so often there was a 60-foot strip down to the lake. And the cross of the road was plotted out for cabin sites. And when they sold around the lake, they intended to sell them cabin sites, as cabin sites across the road, and they could use these 60-foot strips to get to the lake, see? And I realized that, so this lot is right between two of those supposedly 60-foot strips. Well, they didn't have no luck selling it across the road, so they got talked to people around the lake to buy that stuff across the lake, and then they sold these 60-foot strips. And when they got through, they wound up that they had a private lake. It wasn't intended to be a private lake, but they sold all these 60-foot strips and eventually made it a private lake.
Well, there was public access at one time.
Oh, yes, yes, these 60-foot strips were public.
This is no longer true.
This is no longer true.
And this is the reason why the Department of Natural Resources will not stock the lake.
That's right. I've tried it, and
some individuals have brought fish in.
Oh, you can buy it. Here, about 5-6 years ago, I and two or three guys had to get around somebody to pitch in and buy some fish stock. Well, we went around, they wasn't in the rent. They went, I'm going to pay for fish for somebody else to catch, so we give up the idea. Because I'm not a lake fisherman. My sport is brook trout anyway, because like I say, you go hunting in the... Couldn't go hunting, but I used to get involved in brook trout fishing.
Did you build this cabin yourself, or did you have it built?
No, we built it ourselves. And in fact, my wife there, she helped put the roof on. And my dad and my mother and myself and her, we built it ourselves. We had a carpenter come out and lay out the frame, you know what I mean, and put the hip rafters on, but everything else we did ourselves.
Was this true with most people who built here? Did they do most of the work themselves?
Well, what's Ellingson's cabin down here? That was a log cabin. That took them two or three years to build. They built it themselves on weekends, and that took a long time to do it. But there was different, some cabins, Gordy Lundstrom down there, which is one of the older cabins, that was put up by Peterson and, forget the other name, they had a carpenter shop on the kitty corner from the YW. They were in the carpenter lumber business, and they built there.
What were cabins costing at that time? Have you any idea?
I haven't any slightest idea what the cost would be. Now, when they brought in lumber for our cabin, we got it from Scott Graff. They brought it in as far as this turn in to get, you know, if you come in the back, I mean, that's as far as they could go. And they had to dump it off there. Then we hired Swanson, the farmer, to bring it in on the logging roads, and he zigzagged all the way on these logging roads. And they come back, right, you used to come in down there, five lots down, to along the beach and come right along into the lot. And the log, and that's how we got it, the lumber in on the lot.
Now, I've heard Farmer Swanson mentioned a good many times. What kind of services did he provide for the people here?
Well, we could get milk and eggs and ice and wood. If we had to buy wood, there was no such thing as an oil stove or a gas stove. We had to heat and cook with wood. And there was no trees or anything around here to get wood from, so we had to buy wood from him, birch wood from him every year for our cook stove and our heating stove. And that is one of the services, and I could say milk, eggs, and cream, and ice, and bought wood from him. So he provided a pretty good service for the... And this road from in front of his place, getting into the blacktop, that was a terrible road. From his place over to Roebrick's place there, if you saw a car coming to my, you waited till he got through. You couldn't possibly pass him in the middle. It was just, if you try to pass him, you'd wind up in the swamp and have to get a team of horses to pull you out, so.
How soon after you moved in here did people start staying year-round?
Well, it's just been the last few years that they've been staying around at Rose Lake out here. And I'm not too familiar about who stays over on Laura and Dora. But it's just been, I would say within the last eight, ten years at the longest that they've been staying here the year round.
Now, being here since the 1920s, you probably have seen in your own family and others a whole turnover of generations, several generations coming out here.
Oh, yes. I used to get a second cabin over, which is now owned by Ms. Anderson. Slyker, the baker from Superior, had a big bakery over in Superior. He had a daughter, and she got, when they start dating, then they got to stay in town. And then after the daughter gets married or the son gets married and they have children, then the place booms again. Then they're out here, but there's a period of maybe 3 or 4 years that they're hardly around at all. And I've seen it happen around the lake many, many times.
Now, in your own case, you say your parents came out with you. What about your grandparents? Did they come here too?
No, I didn't have any grandparents in town.
So your parents, then you came, and then your children and their children?
Yeah. My grandchildren, that little Tata, she's in here, that's my great-granddaughter.
So there have been, five generations?
Five generations,
here,
yeah.
Who've used it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there have been five generations out here. And I've got a crib under the bed that every one of my grandchildren and my children have slept in, a screen crib that I built when my oldest daughter was born. And boy, they use it.
You touched on this a little regarding how long it took you to drive up here in those first years. The speed limit now, of course, is 55, and yet people can make it from downtown in about 30, 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. How fast did you travel when you first came up over those old roads?
You couldn't travel very fast. You're lucky if you went 35, 40 miles an hour because of the dust and dirt, And we used to go up the White Pace River. You know what it is? We had to come in from number 7 there. And, brother, if you could go over 15 miles an hour on that road from 7 over to the Miller Trunk and come back down, you were lucky because you're lucky you didn't get through.
Do you know when the French Club was built?
It was under construction, I would say, in the 2021. It was under construction when we came out in 21. It was pretty well along in 21. But it was dedicated in May 1923. It was completed in May 1923.
What was its major purpose, at least in the beginning?
Well, there was a French Club, a very active French Club on the West End, joining the St. Clement's Church. And this club is the one that got together and built this property out. And I've been told that Filiatro donated the property that the French Club has now acquired or under their name. He donated the property for this club. But the members of the French Club put it up, and it's quite a club.
And they were mostly French people?
All French Club members, yeah.
Did they all, in the beginning, in those first years, did they speak French over there?
Oh, there would be some over there. You get some of the priests over there would come over and talk French pretty good.
And they held regular church services?
Oh, they had mass over there, and the sisters would come up, and they had a place for them on weekends or during the week. And it is quite a popular place. Then you had a little stand there where you could get pop and beer.
Now, that was the only commercial-type establishment in Three Lakes except for Roberg's store.
That wasn't there then. No, neither. That was the only place that you could buy anything. Of course, they didn't have any groceries over there When you came in, you had every groceries with you, or go to Shaw over that big road out the highway.
How was the town of Shaw at that time?
I went to the town of Cotton.
Cotton?
Yeah.
How about Shaw? Was it ever bigger than it is now?
No. A little more active, of course, when the railroads were there and the farm was there, but a little more active. But as far as buildings are concerned, it's about the same then as it, now as it was then.
Now, when you packed on the weekends to come up here, did you put milk and things and you brought ice with you?
No, we got ice from Swanson.
You waited until you got there, and then you got your fresh milk there, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was never pasteurized, but it was... And you get a quart of cream so thick, you put it in the ice box at night, and it was so thick in a quart sealer, you had to take it out of a spoon. It cost 40 cents.
40 cents a quart?
Yeah, thick cream.
What was milk a quart at that time?
I don't recall. It was, maybe 10 cents at the most, yeah. And we got ice from them. And then, of course, them days we had to cool everything with ice. That's the only way we could keep it cool.
Was there still some horse traffic at that time?
Well, Swanson had horses working on the road out here at that time. When they improved the road from 53 into the lakes, he had two teams working on it. That was all done with team and hand labor.
Did you ever spend much time on the other two lakes?
Not too much.
Elora, Noda?
No, I haven't. I've been over there a few times, but as far as spending any time, I can't say that I have.
What about the people getting together did the people on Rose Lake ever get together, say, once a year and have a group picnic or anything like that?
No. The Three Lakes Development Association has tried it at different times to get the group together for different things, but they haven't been too successful. As far as getting a good percentage of the people here, a good representative percentage of the people that are on the lake.
Now, at this time, in 1978, there are probably as many cabins as you can possibly squeeze in along the shoreline. Certainly so many more than when you first came here. During which period did you like it best, then or now?
Well, being that I'm retired, I think I enjoy it more now because we come out here and we don't want to go home. Before, I had to go home, of course, but it was always nice to get out here even when you were working. And when I, during the summer vacation, when I worked in town, my wife would stay here with the children, and I'd come back and forth to work because I got through work early in the afternoon. And then, an hour after I was here, it seemed like I hadn't worked all day. You could forget the downtown.
Have you spent all of your vacations and virtually all of your free time here, or have you traveled besides?
Well, we've traveled besides. Yeah, we've been out west. And we used to go down to Florida every year. I had a daughter living down there, and we used to go down there every year for quite a few years. And of course, I had so much vacation time coming. But we spent all our weekends and stuff like that when it came to vacation. Well, we used to go to Florida for the whole 10, 12 years there in a row when I took sick. And she got through this pretty problem. We couldn't drive anymore, and pretty hard to get on the plane with a wheelchair, and I'm not strong enough to enter.
So you've seen a lot of the country, but how does this compare with what you've seen?
They can have the rest of it. I'll take this. They can have the rest of it. I'll take this. Getting to the original plot around the lake, it was plotted for lots to be sold back across the road from the lake. And those were cabin sites to be sold later on. And there was supposed to be an 60-foot access to all about every block or so those people could get down to the lake. And in addition to that original plot, from back of Spencer's Place and Maxson Place over towards the French Club, there was supposed to be a golf course put in. But I think when they sold the property around the lake, they forgot the golf course because we never heard any more about it. But that was in the original plat, that there was supposed to be a golf course between the back of your place there and over to the French Club.
Periodically, you've seen these places up for sale. Some of them, at one point in time, sold for as little as $600. Is that right?
Well, yeah, that's one of them, which was an exception. Yeah. That was an exception. She didn't know what it was worth.
Yeah.
Or didn't want, just she pretty given away just to get it off her hands.
What about some of the more costly places? They were and are worth many thousands today.
Well, you can figure, I've been told by the people that have been selling, have sold and thinking of selling, that they've got our footage on the lake, $100 a foot, valued at $100 a foot. Now we have I've got 122, and we paid 575, so you can figure the difference now between 21 at 575 for 122 feet and $100 a foot, it would be $1,220, $12,200 just for the property alone without the building. Now, whether you can get that or not, but that's what I've been told, they're basing their costs on.
At the time you moved in here, did you have the opportunity, if you'd have had the finances, to buy a lot more? Could you have bought a lot?
Oh, you could have bought all you wanted, yes. Yeah. But you'll notice now, like here, these 1, 2, 3 years, 4 cabins here, including Talkie, they're on small lots. And we thought the same thing when we came out here. I bought part of the lot and my dad bought part of the lot. Because everybody in town, anybody had a house in town them days, they only had it on a 25-foot lot. Why come way out in the country and buy more than a 50-foot lot? You know what I mean? And so it was ridiculous that people would come have a home on a 25-foot lot in town and come way out in the country and buy a 50-foot lot. And that's the reason for a lot of these 100-foot lots being split. And it did the same thing along down here. But Mabel Christensen, she had a 50-foot lot split, or a 100-foot lot split with a Peterson girl. And the Peterson girl wasn't interested, so Mabel bought her 50-foot, so she still has a 100-foot. But that's the way it was. Everything along the way was sold, whether on some of the cabins were close together, because, and I've heard it said, well, I don't want a 100-foot. Gosh, my house at home is only on a 25-foot lot. Why do I need a 50-foot lot out in the country? But we were lucky that we hung on to ours, because I'm sure this is the largest single-footed lot on the lake, 122 feet. Yeah.
If you had invested in other land at that time, you could have made $500,000, maybe.
Just figure what it is from $575 to $12,200 right now. Of course, it's been a long wait for that money, but I didn't buy with that idea in mind or for investment. And of course, them days, they were just getting married, and nobody's buying lands for investment. You're buying your house and furniture.
Did your lifestyle change much during the Depression years?
I was fortunate. I was able to work during the Depression, and very fortunate. I was working with the state in the Grain Inspection Department, and I didn't lose much time, but of course, there wasn't too much work to do, and they didn't raise any salaries or anything, but we were lucky. But it was a tough scratch in there for a while, because it was during the Depression that the outfit I was with, the grain firm I was with, folded up. And I was fortunate enough with my experience to get on with the Grain Inspection Department.
But in those years, too, you still continued to come up here to the cabin.
Oh, yes. The only time we didn't come up was during the war, from 41 to 42.
Why? You couldn't get the gas?
Couldn't get the gas. I went down there, and we couldn't rent the cabin because nobody had gas to get out here. And I went down to the ration board on more than one occasion. Just give me enough gas to make one trip out there, or two trips, check the place over. No, I couldn't do it. I said, for heaven's sakes. I said, I got to pay taxes on the thing and pay insurance. I don't know if this building's still there. No, we can't do it. So we didn't, during the war, we didn't get
you
out
didn't
here.
Come up at all?
Oh, we got up here once in a great while, but we went without riding or some rides we could have used in town, you know. And other than that, why, we weren't out here every weekend. Maybe we got out here three times all summer long.
Was there ever much of a problem here with break-ins and vandalism?
Occasionally.
Please turn the tape to the other side. Did you take advantage much of the blueberry crop, and was it ever much better than it has been in recent years?
Well, we don't have any, you might say, in recent years around the lake, but there was years back when our end of the lake, which I would call an east end of the lake or northeast end of the lake, from there back was just blue with blueberries. And there used to be so many blueberry pickers from town that we'd have a hard time getting in on our, on our driveway. They'd be driven back in the woods and on these lichen roads, but still, and everybody got blueberries. Every year, just loaded with blueberries. But of course, it's growing up so bad up there. There isn't, you might find a spot here and there, but heavens, we used to go out there and get blueberries by the bushel. Folks would come out there, and I tell you, I never saw so many blueberry pickers and blueberries, but there were blueberries for everybody.
The bears, too.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I seen them in the patch out there. But they won't bother you eating blueberries. We have trouble with bear in our garbage cans here when there's dump was going. I had a garbage can, the bottom went out, and I had a 100-gallon lard can. I don't know where I got a hold of it, plus a regular garbage can. And that lard can had a tight cover on it. And the thing was full, and I had that cover on. That bear couldn't get that cover off, but you know what he did? He flattened that garbage can out like a sheet of tin. He got it open. And when you can tell when it's a bear or a dog, because a bear will pick up your garbage and go back at the back end of the lot and eat it. He won't eat right there at the garbage can.
What about wild strawberries? Did you ever harvest many of those?
No, not, there was a few. I was never interested in them because it's too much of a job picking wild strawberries, but there used to be a lot of raspberries around. Yeah, there used to be a lot of raspberries around. And I used to go down that, on the way to Shaw, that first turn you made after you went down, right on the corner was a beautiful patch. I was down there picking strawberries and I heard some noise and I looked up and there were 14 deer across the road, all in one bunch coming up from the lake, 14 of them. You can imagine what a pretty sight that was. Yeah.
Did you ever come out much in the wintertime?
We used to when we were younger, yes, come out with the toboggan and the kids and skis and...
Did you ice fish then?
No, I'm no ice fisherman. I don't I don't like to get out in the cold and sit in the ice. Like I say, I'm a brook trout man, and to sit in the house and fish with a... It's too dead a sport for me. But...
What else did you do for entertainment?
Out here?
Yes.
Oh, we always had boating and always somebody around. I know you asked if I came out in the wintertime. I used to come out with Walter Hunting, Denfield football coach, Bob Long, and George Foster, who was head of the Duluth Clearing House in the Board of Trade building, and a fellow named Gibbs, who was head cave-ins for the Canadian National Railroad. We'd come out in February because the weather would settle down, and our wives would cook a roasted chicken dinner and so on and so forth, and we'd come out here for a target shoot. Those guys could shoot gun. They did all their loading and unloading, we'd go out on the lake, and there was no cabins down there in that bank, we'd put a target down on the lake level there so we wouldn't have to go back in the woods, and we'd maybe do that a couple times in February. But then when our kids got big enough, we'd get out here, we would come out tobogganing and skiing and so on and so forth.
And what about the tax situation? Has it increased a lot since you first had your cabin?
I should say so. We used to pay around anyways from 18 to 20 bucks a year, and it's multiplied by that over 10 times by far. It got up as high as $320 here some years back, and we only have a single wall building here, and I went to went to Spaeth, the state tax assessor, about it, and come to find out that he'd been up here in the cotton area in the cotton township, and that Wickstrom Straw and some of those farms around there with homes weren't paying as, and that Swanson's farm wasn't paying as much taxes as I was for the cabin here. So he said, raise everything on that 200%. So that, not thinking of the cabins at all, so up they went 200% in 1 year. And so we went down, we finally got it adjusted back, but not like it should have been compared to what they were paying.
Did you eventually have a telephone put into your place here?
No, we don't want a telephone. We come out here, and that's because out here, that's one beauty, we don't have a telephone. And that's why it's quiet. We're not they can reach us if they want to. You can either call Ollie or call the neighbors, which don't happen very, very seldom. And I go in about maybe once every 10 days to check the house and anybody misses. And if they want us, they can drop a card in the mail today, and we'll have it at the mailbox at 9:15 in the morning.
And what about running water?
Well, I've got a well here with a pump on it. We've got running water, hot and cold water here.
You didn't have that in the early years?
Oh, no, no.
Did you take your water out of the lake?
Oh, no, we had a driven well with a pitcher pump. Pitcher pump in the sink.
But you could have taken the water right out of the lake and drank it, right?
I think so. Them days you could have, yeah, because there's nothing, I don't know what could pollute it them days. We had a well with a pump right on the kitchen sink, and that water didn't go so good, so we put it outside. Now we got it on the west side of the building, and we wanted to cross under the cabin over to the...
So you say you looked all over initially, went up farther north than this, looked everywhere for cabins?
We went up to Williams Lake, Murphy Lake, Chubb Lake, Grand Lake, Caribou Lake, oh God, you name it, we were there.
So now after more than 50 years, 57 years at this location, you think you're going to stay?
I think we will. I don't think we'll move.
We have this additional information after completing the interview with Jasper Barnkard regarding the two drownings in Rose Lake. One of them involved a Naslund, and that was in the 1930s. The other was a Bergwall, and that drowning occurred in about the 1920s.